That
with
is
Zobin.
cool.
Did
All
you see
time.
that Zobin is going to Vegas?
No, Zobin's going to Vegas.
Who flew her out?
No, Zobin.
Yeah, on her Insta story.
She flew herself out.
Oh.
Honestly,
I wonder if she started a GoFundMe. I wonder if she started a GoFundMe. A GoFundMe to get her to Vegas.
Yeah.
That's impressive. We can start the episode.
Okay.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry.
Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
Coach's Corner was kind of like my bathroom break.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm your host this week, Mallory. I'm here with Sam and Georgia, and also Sloan is here. We're here to talk to you about hockey and other things. And I guess we'll just get it started with our highs and lows. We have a very exciting high this week, which is baby's first book acknowledgement. Georgia, do you want to read this?
Yeah. So we had a very lovely person DM us to say that they had just read Kate Nary's book, her debut novel, Seasons Change, which is a queer hockey romance that just got published. Actually, I think Gabby read it and said it was really good. I have not had the chance to read it. I will be reading it. I'll add it to my to-read list on Goodreads. But sent us a picture of the acknowledgments where Kate Nary thanked us for, alongside a variety of other people in the hockey community. And it was just a really exciting thing. It was like two of mine and Sam's worlds colliding. Maybe Kate should come on PodCute to discuss. And it was also interesting because we were just talking about the kind of numbers of romance books written about hockey players in gay relationships last week. So it was kind of funny that this just happened at the same time, but congratulations, Kate, on your book being published. And I will read it and I will leave a review on Goodreads, and everyone else should read it too. Seasons Change is what it's called. So yeah, that was super exciting. And that was definitely a high of the week.
Obviously our second high is that Gritty went to Chippendales.
This is really Mallory's like that high of life, maybe.
Exactly. I think that they should, like, I also love the concept of them having to call the people at Vegas Chippendales and be like, so can Gritty come? Can yes. Gritty come do something? And they're like, yeah. Also, he did like a little strip tease. And so they also had to get off, like, tear off like jersey and pants for him. It's truly incredible. I hope he gets up to lots of other Vegas antics this weekend.
I can't wait for the 30 for 30 about Gritty. Like, truly, out of the shit storm that has been hockey for the last, I mean, let's just boil it down to the last like 5 years about how chaotic and horrible everything's been. Gritty has been a shining light.
Yeah, that is very true. And also, I mean, some of the replies obviously on his post where like our team has lost like 13 games straight, like we would like a good hockey team. I respect spending iconic. The entire Flyers budget on Gritty. I think that that's what they should be doing. So I don't know, it's incredible.
Also, did you see the picture of all the other mascots were doing the like Ocean's 11 like lineup in front of
Bellagio
or whatever? After like that juxtaposed with Gritty stripping with the gym dancers.
And it's like he gets to meet up with all of his friends at the All-Star game or whatever in like the thing. But also I think that other mascots kind of have a little bit of beef with him. Like, it's kind of a love-hate relationship. They're kind of annoyed because he gets all of the fanfare, but as he should.
Yeah, he's the best. And he crosses over.
Earn the fanfare.
Exactly. This is how we grow the game. Exactly. Also, speaking of growing the game, PK Subban is going to be in the new Jackass movie.
Yeah, I saw that. He's taking slap shots at their nuts to test, like,
how we grow the game.
Different chalk straps.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll just get into it. That's a real tough transition. I guess we're going to talk about the All-Star break because we're going into that. And it's kind of like a weird All-Star break because it was built into match with the Olympics and there is no Olympics break. They're kind of just like shoving a bunch of other games back in. But I guess it is like the halfway point of the season. So what are like the biggest like surprises or disappointments of the year? I mean, I guess like my big one is I've been shocked every single time I see where the Islanders are in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were like one game away from the Stanley Cup final last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously the Habs were actually in the Stanley Cup final, but literally somehow the Islanders being bad is more shocking to me.
Yeah, because everyone knew that the Canadiens were like
kind of a fluke.
It was a Cinderella story versus the Islanders, who everyone thought were like gonna make the next step, if you want to put it in hockey parlance. Yeah, it's pretty shocking where they are at. Also, like, just Matt Barzal in general, like, tough year. He also went missing, so.
Is that your biggest shock is no. when he was MIA?
I think, like, there's actually quite a few teams that have been kind of big shocks. Like, the Dallas Stars are just, like, what the fuck happened to them? I mean, who was it? Sam, was it? Actually, you're dealing with Sloan. Was it Jim Nill who was, like, this team is shit or something?
Horseshit. He called them horseshit.
Yeah. He called them horseshit before they even made it to the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, I know, but he really was reading the tea leaves because they're just like nothing. And then also the Jets, I think we expected them to, like, we didn't expect them to be phenomenal, but I think we expected them to be doing a little bit better. And then, like, obviously the Kraken, who, like, unfairly had to live in the shadow of the Vegas Golden Knights. And I don't think anyone ever thought that they were going to do what Vegas did. Like, everyone saw the roster. But I think they thought that Grubauer was going to be better. And they didn't think it was going to be so devastating. So those are, like, the teams, I guess.
Which isn't, like, fair because also I think that a lot of our preseason predictions were also like, this team could be good or bad. Like, we really did not take
any commitment. We hedged our bets.
Like, we were just playing both sides. We were like, who knows?
I did say I thought the California teams were going to be shit.
I was going to say the Ducks are surprising.
But I don't know if they're good or if it's just like the Oilers are so bad.
Yeah.
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 I mean, also just surprising in general is the Pacific Division. Like, we thought it was going to be the worst division in hockey. It was going to be just absolutely atrocious. And then that has not been the case. And I think, like, in teams that have been really good, like the Flames, I mean, they started off with an insane record and Markstrom had more shutouts than the Canucks had wins for a while, which was truly just a time to be alive. But their number one line is still the best defensive and offensive line in hockey. That was kind of like a nice surprise for me. I definitely thought, like, I guess between them and Edmonton, you didn't see it being like that. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I don't focus on Calgary.
Okay, enough. If we're talking disappointments, I'll be brave enough to say it. I know we don't like speaking about him because we've had some PTSD. Pettersson, buddy, my boy. Petey's been bad this season.
We're like, it's disappointing in a loving way from us.
It's a very disappointing loving way. And we never were even on, even I, when I was on my do it, let's trade Tyler Mott train, I never even said we should trade Petey. So I don't want to say that I, like, really was really hating on him, but he has not performed. He's been bad. And
he's been better the last little bit.
He's been better. But I don't know if this is also a situation where kind of like he overperformed his first times here. I mean, he's very good, but he had like really good years. And we were like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's like insane. And then kind of he went through a slump and then maybe went to a middling situation.
Yeah, I think he like kind of was, he wasn't slumping, but he kind of fell off at the end of his rookie year a little bit. And then obviously we had the COVID year, which he was injured, and the shortened season as well. And then, yeah, this year, I remember listening to, it might've been the like VanCast or something. And Thomas Drance was like talking about how bad it had gotten. And this was like pre Travis Green getting fired. And he was like, he said something like, when you're watching on the ice, like they're not even heavy matching him at all. Like they weren't even trying to like match him at all. And that's how bad he was, is that they were literally like, anyone can be out on the ice and it doesn't matter. And if you think about that in comparison to where he was like coming off of his rookie season, that's a pretty sharp decline. We can talk all we want about his sticks, changed his sticks. he stopped being on social media.
Daniel Wagner, he made a post that like comparing the amount of posts that he makes on Instagram in a month and his points, and his sweet spot is about 4 or 5. So yeah, he needs to get, I think it's 5. So he needs back to start posting Insta weekly.
Yeah.
He needs to get on Insta.
You have
the formula that works. He needs to get his old sticks back. And I don't know. He needs to cure his depression. He needs to get a sad lamp. He like came to Vancouver and was like, this sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows what it is? Maybe he just needs like maybe he's like all of us. The pandemic hit him.
It hit him
just
hard.
Just was like, I feel lethargic and I don't care about anything.
He has like a lot of like existential ennui at this point.
Yeah. Like so many of us. I'm willing to believe that. I think like the thing is, I don't think he's bad forever. Like I definitely don't. I think players have slumps and like go through hard times, and like he's shown too much skill to be like just like he just lose it all. Like I don't necessarily believe that. And I also think like I don't think he liked Travis Green. Gonna put that out there. They seem to be like maybe not the best fit. And so he's got to figure out the future with Bruce Boudreau. And now he has a Swedish GM. They can go out, hang out in Vancouver, get Swedish meatballs.
IKEA, they can go.
Yeah. Drink some aquavit. Be friends, you know. Do fun stuff. Post on Instagram together.
Exactly.
And he can shape up. But yeah, like he's been disappointing. It's pretty hard to argue against that. Sam, do you have
Do you have any like other ones? Yeah, other like shocks, more maybe in a more positive vein? I don't know. It's hard to ever be positive about hockey.
I was gonna say, I really thought I was shocked when the Canucks fired Jim Benning. Didn't think that was gonna happen.
That was.
I'm also shocked that like they seem to just now suddenly be on a hiring spree.
Yep.
Like they suddenly can afford to do all of this, which makes you wonder why they didn't before.
The mysteries of Canucks sports and entertainment.
So many mysteries. But that was surprising. And I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm like surprised. I actually am surprised by how bad the Oilers are. Like I genuinely thought they would somehow be better, but they're not.
Nope. Yeah. I think like my other like disappointing. So I have one disappointing and two that are surprising. Well, not surprising, but like happily, I don't know, excited about. My one disappointing is Cole Caulfield. So he obviously came off like a massive playoffs where everyone was like, he's the Calder winner next year. Everything's great.
Then he went to the AHL and his dad got mad at the Twitter people. So that was tough. And then for surprising, I will say this and I will brag about it again because he's on my fantasy team, Steven Stamkos. He's played very well this season.
I feel like you cannot say that Steven Stamkos being good at hockey is surprising.
No. But he's like, no. That's what I meant. Like, it's not surprising, but it's just like an excite. Like, it's a nice thing where it's like he's playing really well after, like, I don't know. He's very well. It's the same with Alex Ovechkin. Like, he's obviously really fucking good, but did anyone think that he would be
this good
at, like, right now? And then my other one is, and then again, Mallory, don't yell at me, but Quinn Hughes. Because he had such a bad season last year. And so to see him like thriving while looking equally depressed and miserable.
Speaking of existential ennui, that man is
maybe that's the issue. There's just too much like water sign vibe going on in that Canucks dressing
room. That's true. That we should actually like out. See if okay, do you think that if we evened out the like distribution of signs to make it like having like a fair distribution of air signs, fire signs, and like earth signs. Actually, I feel like though, I want to say that I don't think that air signs and water signs fare well in hockey.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think, but so it doesn't need to be completely like even, but I think that we could create our dream team that way. Pettersson is a water sign. He's a Scorpio. So much to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, those are my other ones. I did have Minnesota as a nice surprise. But they kind of started falling off a little bit. Mainly just because I forget they exist. And so it's always fun when I'm like, oh yeah, Minnesota's there. They're fun. Yeah. So that's my last one. Also Mark Scheifele, -12. I found that out today. He's not having a good season. So
yeah, that's very funny. Honestly.
So those are mine.
Yeah, I think that also I've been very pleasantly surprised by Nashville, who is our second favorite team because they appease us a lot.
Oh yeah, we should
obviously tease they're like, not our favorite team for like other like reasons, like in particular their like Detroit tweet, but
and the
they are our favorite team. And they've been having a really good year, which has been very surprising to me because obviously Pekka Rinne retiring and also like the Preds have been pretty like middling for a while. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they went to the Stanley Cup final like more recently than us, but
yeah. Well, and they're in a division with like the Colorado and St. Louis. Yeah. And like, obviously it's like so challenging. So yeah, those are good.
Okay. I guess we'll move on into the actual All-Star area.
Yeah, we came up with this like an hour ago. We are going to make our own
All-Star teams. But first, I do want to talk about the skills competition and whatever. Well, they've like tried to add like more things.
The outdoor thing.
I think the entire All-Star game should be more of a skills competition because like those tend to be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the skills competition also is a lot of standing around. So I don't know. But regardless, I am very excited for the hockey blackjack because I'm very bad at quick addition. And I also don't believe that any of the other hockey players would be good at quick addition.
Okay. I only just like saw these on Twitter. Can you explain to me what the two things
are? I could not really tell you exactly what's happening with it's the like fountain one.
Yeah. I don't know the fountain one. I don't understand that. It's outside too.
I really don't know what's happening there. But the thing that I actually do understand is that it's like some sort of blackjack thing where you're trying to hit cards to make 21.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's and, but fun. Like you're shooting the puck at them, obviously, to try to hit them.
I didn't get the fountain one. Is it like an obstacle course?
I genuinely don't know.
You're shooting a puck through the fountain?
I could not tell you. I'm very, yeah, it's like something where you're shooting them into like a target. Oh, but yeah, somehow the fountains are involved and like
what maybe... is your favorite All-Star game challenge thing? What are they called?
Oh yeah.
Skills contest.
Skills competition.
Which one is your favorite?
I like Save Streak. I like that. The goalies. And probably I like accuracy, like contests, like shooting. I like those. So if it's like based out of that, I like it. What about you?
I think I've always liked fastest skater. And I do like accuracy, except I always just like, I have such like, I'm such an empath that like when they miss and they just keep missing, it hurts my bones. Like,
oh my God.
So I get like super anxious about it. But I think accuracy's fun, but no, I like the fastest skater the most. Though they like don't wear their helmets and I always think they're gonna fall. That's the other thing. I'm gonna be an insane parent. I can already tell. Sam, what are your favorite skills comps?
My favorite skills comps, I also like accuracy, but what I really enjoyed was last year, or was it 2 years ago, when they had to like shoot from the top of the bleachers.
Oh, the like,
and try to hit the targets on the ice.
Yeah. Wasn't that in St. Louis?
It was in St. Louis.
It was kind of like a
Top Golf esque.
Yeah, Top Golf esque thing. Yeah.
I enjoyed that one mostly because it was a shit show.
Yeah, no one could do it.
I enjoy watching them fail.
I love seeing like what things they'll put people in. I think it's really funny.
Yeah.
Did you see Hardest Shot? That's the only one I've seen. It's like Timo Meyer and Tom Wilson. People were
saying that was funny.
So random.
But it was really funny because I remember when they put Patterson in Hardest Shot.
And, yeah, and like, then he actually did well. Was
like, this boy weighs 100 pounds soaking wet. Like, and then he did really well.
Yeah. He wanted to do it too, which is kind of fun.
Which is really cute, honestly.
Yeah.
Let me add him.
Okay, we got to draft our all broadcast, all-star vibes, extraordinaire team, which we came up with this like 2 hours ago. So the rules are shaky at best.
Yeah, we decided actually though that this is one team.
We're drafting one rot, like one lineup, opening lineup or whatever. So three forwards, they can be whatever, it doesn't have, they can be three centers, I don't care.
No, they could not. They have
what? To be- No!
Yes.
I didn't write down any of my people's positions.
That's why I was looking it up earlier.
Oh, okay, fine. Two defensemen, one goalie. And we're going to fight about this. So if you haven't brought citations, Mallory will probably tear you down.
Such as that I think our all-star center should be Josh Norris of Ottawa Senators because his face is tattooed on someone's chest forever. And that's my reasoning. Connor McDavid, no. Josh Norris.
Someone tattooed Josh Norris on themselves.
On their stomach, on their torso for a signed jersey.
Oh,
the tattoo costs like $1,000. A signed Josh Norris jersey does not cost that much. It is Josh Norris.
Oh my God. That's who you want to have as our center?
I mean, who would you rather have as our center?
Somebody
who's good at hockey?
Yeah, I was going to say Nazem Kadri.
We're going to fight over who should be our center, Josh Norris or Nazem Kadri.
What reasons do you have for Nazem Kadri?
Give us citations.
Right now, are they better than somebody has a $1,000 tattoo of his face?
No. I don't think I can top that reasoning.
Yeah, no. I don't know if I have any centers on my list. So I guess it's Josh Norris.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Okay, Sam, you All nominate right. someone. Okay. I will nominate on left wing, Kirill Kaprizov. He's a Shark King. He is also very good at hockey. And he, during the freezing cold outdoor classic, just was totally fine with it being like minus 40. So our little Siberian boy is my nomination. Very good.
I do respect that. For left wing, I have as my nomination of Chris Kreider, who at like for about like maybe 30 minutes was leading the goal scoring race. He has 32 goals this year.
That's so crazy.
And
isn't he?
It's apparently just because he's parking in front of the net.
Doesn't he speak multiple languages? Is he that one?
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't we talk about like how he's like speaks Russian or something?
Yeah, I think
so. In one of our early episodes.
He also speaks Russian. He's from Russia.
But Kaprizov's a short king. And he's nothing to do in Minnesota. Let him be on the broadcast.
Okay, with team. That, I think he'd be a great left wing for Josh Norris.
Okay. That's our left winger.
No, I have a left winger nomination.
Oh, okay.
I was going to nominate Brandon Tanev and pretend he's
okay.
not. Okay. Pretend he's not injured.
He's also on my list because he has extreme vibes.
Yeah. He has, I also feel like he's really taken off this season as like,
oh yeah,
a cult hero.
He's hit the Tumblr boards. Yeah. Let's just say that. He's like a, he really melded well with the Pacific Northwest. And I think there's probably a lot of fanfic about him. That's the vibe I get. So that's a good one too. If he wasn't injured. Mal, what do you think?
I think that we are fully healthy.
So they're canceled if they're injured?
They're canceled now because it's an easier way to put this down. Fantasy does claim that you can put Kaprizov at left wing or right wing. So do you have other just general wingers that you want?
I don't know what...
Okay.
Like, what is Nick Suzuki and Jason Robertson? Because those are my other two forwards that I have.
I'll look it up. I mean, I was gonna say Matthew Tkachuk is a pick for me in general for playing on the wing. I've always been a big fan of him. When I say always, I mean maybe a couple years. I'm a lifelong Matthew Tkachuk fan.
And it's really hard to ever get over the video that he made at the beginning of the pandemic.
Hard to get over that one, which is really funny. And he's just like sitting in his Midwestern basement, beige, very, very upper middle class. I mean, obviously, like the Tkachuk family is like beyond upper middle class, but it like radiates upper middle class, like
hangout
basement hangs. And also, he's just sitting there and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm Matthew Tkachuk. You should not get COVID."
With his steepled hands.
It's so funny. And it's also so funny. Another reason why I'm a fan of Matthew Tkachuk. Okay, there's 2.1 million views on this video published 4 years ago. And it's 12 minutes of Matthew Tkachuk pissing people off as a rookie. Great cinema.
That is really good. This is actually hard.
Jason Robertson's a left wing.
He qualifies as... Oh, Jason Robertson's left wing?
He's a left wing, yeah.
Okay, let's just eliminate Brandon Tanev because he's injured. Sorry.
Okay.
Hearts and minds. He can be on the taxi squad. He's a ghost anyway, so
yeah,
he's fine.
What reasons do you have for Jason Robertson?
Just because he's like super cute and lovely.
Yeah, he is super cute and lovely.
He's also just like stuck in Dallas. Half of the people I have, it's like
lots Nick Suzuki live in Dallas.
Like, Nick Suzuki, like lovely, super cute, want to support him, but he's like stuck in Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's eliminated anyway because we picked Josh Norris. Okay.
Okay, do you have any other people or are we going?
Okay, well, why don't we go Tkachuk left wing, Kaprizov right wing? Or do you have anyone else? Sam is gone.
Sam's MIA.
Sam's dealing with Sloan. So we're taking over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I think that's good. That's a great lineup destined for success.
Okay, who do you have for defense?
I mean, I have Ivan Provorov because his dog is TikTok famous. he himself is not very good at hockey right now. I don't know. He has been bad for, I actually used to really like him. I mean, it's not like I don't still like him, but he used to be like a really underrated like player, and he has not performed well in the past few years, but that really doesn't matter. Cause actually, let me go check right now how many followers on TikTok his dog has.
Oh my God. It's insane.
It's absurd how many followers on TikTok his dog has.
What's the dog's name again? He has
867,000. Okay, what other defenseman do you have?
Artem Sub.
Okay.
Also from Ottawa. Because he's the best name. And he's just a fun guy. I also have, obviously, I have Jared Spurgeon, who is a broadcast legend, short king. Has extremely good skincare routines. I don't know what else to say. And then I also have Chris Tanev, to be honest. He's having a good season. And that man is broken, but has come back to life. Oh my God.
Anyway, so I'm just saying.
And I also have Kalen Carr, but like, I feel. Like Kale McCarr, just because of constant energy and constant shenanigans, make him applicable for the broadcast all vibes team.
Sam nominated a defenseman.
I would have nominated Kale McCarr. That's who I would have gone with. Mostly like for hockey reasons, and also just like the general vibes are glorious.
So Sam, we should tell you, because you left for a while, we decided that our forward line is Josh Norris, Matthew Tkachuk, and Kirill Kaprizov. And on defense so far, we have Ivan Provorov, and I don't know who else. Though, are we paying
attention? No, I feel like I want like a more concrete reason than just like he's a chiller for Makar.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I just think of like every 2 seconds I log on and it's some like new thing of like him lip syncing something on the bench, or him eating when he was eating the Stroopen waffle on the bench. That was an iconic moment.
Stroopen waffle are
like
really good.
When Emily Kaplan asked him what he does.
Yeah, what does he do on his like cheat day? He goes and gets a 7-Eleven Slurpee. Or no, that's his biggest expenditure. That's what it was. Just like, what was your biggest money splurge? I want to go to Slurpee. Mal, come on.
Okay, fine. It can be Cam McCarr.
We need someone because Ivan Provorov sucks at hockey.
I think this is going to work out
well. We need to be both vibey and good.
You do realize you let me put Josh Norris at center.
I do. Okay, goaltender.
They're going to be need to take picking up a lot of slack here.
All I have is Vitek Vanacek, because he got traded right back and forth. That's all I have. I really didn't spend enough time looking at the goalies. We could also just do one of the random Buffalo goalies who appeared.
I am literally about to look up, literally Google the phrase Carolina goaltender that has Charles Leclerc and Roger Federer on his helmet.
Oh no.
Also Peter Mrazek, that is who has Charles Leclerc and Roger Federer.
Oh, because he's Swiss. I also do like Connor Ingram. I don't know if he's playing.
Charles Leclerc is also not Swiss. He just likes him, I guess.
Oh. He's just into
it. He just is like, I just like cars. And to that I say, so true.
Yeah, I don't really have a good candidate. I also put UC Saros, but like I don't have any reasons, just because he's good and he's short and he's like a rare short goaltender. That's it. I really like
John Gibson.
Nedeljkovic has extreme vibes. Does he play for Detroit? Yeah, Detroit now. Demko has like no vibes. I mean, Markstrom is a classic. Truly, it's really sad that we don't get to see his fashion or his hot bod anymore in Vancouver.
I mean, like, to be fair, I like, do think back. That John Gibson has like one of the most penalty minutes by a goalie. which is pretty funny. I actually think that
you got to talk around it so we can tell you who you're thinking of.
American goalie, LA.
Jonathan Quick.
I think Jonathan Quick has more, actually. I do think Jonathan Quick has more penalty minutes than John Gibson, but both of them have like an absurd amount of penalty minutes for being a goalie. Also, I do think that goalies should have to serve their own penalties.
Who was the goalie that like completely took out Drake Batherson? That was insane. Did we talk
Aaron about Dell.
That? Holy fuck, was that nuts. Terrible. Did not like that at all. Okay, so I just don't really know how to do the vibes for the goalie because I feel like we don't have a consensus. Sam, who is your goalie?
I didn't have one.
Okay, well, we talked around it a lot. Everybody put in their one nominee.
Carol, Sam, you're the deciding vote then.
Yeah, I say Gibson. Who did you say is yours?
Yeah, I feel like Georgia threw out like 30 names.
I did. You know what? I did. I did. I'm going to go with Markstrom. I think.
I said Vanacek.
I think he's dead right now.
Vanacek? Yeah, he got taken off. Yeah.
So Gibson by default.
There we go. Mal Let's wins. Go.
Let's
fucking She's just go. Crafting Team fucking America over there.
That is true, honestly. Oh,
we see what you're doing. We see what you're doing. Okay, so that's our team, I guess.
So, yeah, okay. So
being coached by...
For those keeping, taking notes at home, it's like interchangeable. Honestly, we'll see which works better on left or right, but we have Kirill Kaprizov, Josh Norris, Matthew Tkachuk, Ivan Provorov, Kale McCarr, and then John Gibson.
That's
our
terrible.
Broadcast NHL All-Star team.
Yeah, good vibes. They can be coached by someone fun.
We said good coach. Vibes, but honestly, like some of my like justification was has a lot of penalty minutes, which is funny and also pisses people off on the ice all the time. So I don't really know how good the vibes actually are.
Works for Boston.
Yeah, sometimes. It works, I guess.
So there we go. That's our team. Tell us, you can yell at us if we missed anyone or make your own. Draft your own vibey team.
Draft your own team that just is absurd.
But you have to have citations. That's the important thing. I feel like I didn't do a good enough job of bringing my citations. Which is a
historian. This is really disappointing because also like we thought that she was a historian. Yeah. We thought she was, but
yeah,
can't cite her sources. So
my bad. Next time. I almost don't want to talk about the depressing stuff now.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, we can just do that. I feel
what else could we possibly say that we haven't said before?
Blackhawks suck.
Blackhawks suck, and if you are living under a rock, they dug themselves even further into their hole, and also they might hire Torelli, so...
Don't host a town hall if you're not ready to answer questions. Like,
It was an epic meltdown, though.
It was a truly epic meltdown. It was, like, really horrifying that he did so publicly, because then you're obviously like, if he's saying this in public, what is he saying behind doors? So it's one of those things where it's, like, you're both, like, kind of happy that it's, like, unmasked, but also horrified because of what's actually being said. And obviously then today we got the news again that there's three more people that are potentially suing the Blackhawks, including John Doe 3, Paul Vincent, and another Blackhawks player. So that's fun. I don't know. Just like, yeah, I couldn't even believe it. What Mark Lazarus and Phil Thompson had to deal with is horrifying. Horrifying. So evidently their like commitment to change not working.
But it was actually just like, it was surreal, right? Like I tweeted that it was like a scene out of season 3 of Succession, specifically mm-hmm. like
the shareholder meeting where Logan Roy has a UTI and goes batshit crazy. That's exactly what that reminded me of. Like, how?
Yeah. Yeah, it is surreal. Just like, yeah, I just can't get over, like, I can't get over the arrogance that you're mad that they're asking you that question with where the team is at right now. Like I just, whatever. And I think Mark Lazarus wrote a great piece and a variety of other people have. And like, the weirdness of like Rocky Wirtz being upheld as this like savior of the Blackhawks because he like ousted his dad basically, or like pulled the team back from like the grips of his father. And now like that's happening evidently now with Danny Wirtz, with him. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Horrible. Like, I cannot believe he stood there and said, we're not going to talk about Kyle Beach.
Yeah. Like, what did you think was going to happen here at all?
Yeah, it was just horrifying. Anyway, I feel like there's not much new to say. Like, It's the same stuff. And the league's not going to do anything. And Blackhawks aren't going to do anything. And it's just going to be the same old bullshit. And
it was also extra rich for him to be like, we're not going to talk about 2010 anymore. Like the same week that they were like, Marian Hossa and Patrick Sharp are going to be on the committee to pick the new GM. It's like, okay, well, can you tell me what years they played for the Blackhawks? Because I'm pretty sure it was 2010.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous. I don't really have much more to say.
Yeah. I mean, they really are just like the pinnacle of hockey culture in all of its negative ways. And the fact that we are constantly seeing them do all this bullshit and are like, well, honestly, like even when they say that they're going to change, we know that's not actually reality, is kind of just indicative of the rest of the league.
It was also right or this morning or whatever. Did you guys see the Dan Snyder stuff? So he owns the Washington football team. I think they're going to be called the Commanders. I think that's what they're called. Yeah. They also had a roundtable thing, and at this roundtable, women like revealed that he like sexually harassed them. And there's obviously been a massive issue with the Washington football team's like culture or whatever. And he like sent out this press release being like, none of this stuff happened. He's like, this stuff happened where it was like in the team environment, but I didn't personally do it. So it's like that only believe women when it's like not about you kind of vibe. And so like that plus the Rocky Wirtz plus the new Portnoy story plus Mike Flores suing the NFL, just like a banner year, banner week, I guess, for sports. Like, I feel like we're living in a time.
The Flores thing is actually hilarious.
Oh my God. The Flores.
Only for the Bill Belichick story.
Oh my God. Just unbelievable. But I feel like we're living in like a weird transition time where like people talk a lot about how in baseball, like the steroids era, like ruined the like innocence of baseball or whatever. But I feel like we're living in an era where that's just like happening across sports for a lot of people. Like the capitalist like frameworks are like getting unmasked to a point where people can't like hide them, and like the misogyny and like the exploitation and stuff. And so it's it'll be interesting to see when like Sloan is old enough, like what sports means and like how they market it. Because for us, when we were growing up, like our generation of people, it was like, especially for girls, like sports is empowering. Like it is empowering. This is how you become empowered. That's how they like got our generation of like particularly girls. I don't like for boys, whatever, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it becomes reframed for future generations when we're like becoming so disheartened by it, I guess, or like,
yeah, like disenchanted, kind of
disenchanted. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. And other things that seem like we're talking about them all the time, the Arizona Coyotes organization continues to be a shit show. And also the like athletics like agents survey kind of came out, and it was like, is there one team that you would steer your client away from? And they were like, yes, the Arizona Coyotes.
It was unsurprisingly, they also might be playing in ASU's arena next year because they got kicked out of Glendale or get in the process of getting kicked out of Glendale because they didn't pay their taxes.
They don't have anywhere else to go because they can't.
They don't have anywhere else to go except for Quebec or Kansas City or Houston. I mean, now that Patty's out of the playoffs, he has like more free time to listen to my discussions on whether or not he should buy a hockey team. I, like Gary Bettman, want the Yotes to succeed.
But like, what do they have over Gary Bettman? Like, what is it? Because like, if you read the piece from The Athletic about the fact, so the arena that they'll be in has seats 5,000 people, it's going to seriously fuck up escrow for like in a really bad way. And so like, that's not good. But Gary Bettman's just like, no, they'll never leave. We support them. Like at one point they like took over like ownership of the team. Like, it's just wild. Like, I don't understand how.
And I don't understand why. I mean, like, I do actually understand because when you get into it and you hear about like all of like bullshit that has gone down and whatever, you're like, oh, I see why this is not working out. But like, it shouldn't be failing as epically as it is. Like, there's no reason that it should be as much of a catastrophe. But here we are.
Yeah. So we'll do a big episode one day on that.
We'll do a big episode on them. Yeah. But they might be playing at ASU, which is very funny. And
it is deeply funny.
So sad. I guess we can move on for the week, I guess. Oh, no, actually, wait, we have to talk more about this. I'm sorry.
Sam has to go to her dad's birthday.
Okay, well, tell your dad that the Wags were acting up this week.
It's true.
He has to understand. Which is that obviously the Canadian like trucker convoy thing has really given an opportunity for me to clear out who I follow on Instagram. It's really been a really convenient time for me because like literally everyone is just showing their ass completely unprompted, like
voluntarily
just being like, what if I just posted on my Instagram story about being the dumbest bitch alive? So I guess, Sam, if you want to talk more about this, I mean.
Yeah, so I'm sure people have heard it. It's called like the trucker convoy, but the Canadian Trucking Alliance has basically said like something like 90% of their truckers are vaccinated and like they're not actually affiliated with this. It's actually just like grifters, shocker. They started a GoFundMe and raised like $9 million. No one knows where the $9 million is going. If you go online, there are like people who have like hacked into like the convoy radio and everyone's like, where is the money? And they don't know, but somehow are not super concerned.
It also like all traces back to like the fucking Wexit party.
Yeah.
Whatever they're called now. That's something else, which is like just the like Alberta, separatist party, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So these people have basically, it's not a protest. They are staging like an occupation of Ottawa. Like if you listen to anyone who actually lives in downtown Ottawa, they are just like basically being psychologically tortured by incessant honking for the last 6 days. And the police are refusing to do anything about it. They're like, we actually can't engage with these people and remove them. Like,
despite the fact they do that to homeless people all the time, yeah. And Wet'suwet'en and like, yeah
so they bad. Just can't do it to white supremacists and Nazis. Just gotta let them stay there. But a number of NHL wags have completely unprompted decided to post on their Instagram stories how much they support the quote-unquote truckers and their quote-unquote freedoms, including, you can, I'm pretty sure I've seen pro convoy things from Lexi Shaw, who's Thatcher Demko's fiance, obviously, because she's a Candace Owen fan and has already been anti-mask.
She literally could be so cool also, though. Like,
yeah,
she could be so cool. I mean, she's beyond hope now, but like, she was like a college goalie.
Yeah.
She's like seems pretty cool. And then
like, I wanted to make a joke about like,
never mind.
I wanted to make a joke about her being an e-bug, but I was like, oh, I don't like her.
Yes, exactly.
This might actually be a goalie thing because so Lexi Shaw, who's obviously Thatcher Demko's fiance, Angela Price, shocker, another shocker.
Oh, Angela Price reposted Pierre Poilievre, who, oh, he like, fuck, I hate that man. Who posted something about like, there's been no blackface seen at this rally. So like, everything's fine.
Just swastikas, no big
deal. And you're like, oh, so just swastikas and like cultural appropriation of indigenous people and like Confederate flags, but there's no blackface. Like, I just.
And like, as we've talked about before, Carey Price, obviously indigenous, and his mom is the
elected chief
of a tribe. And it's like, okay, Angela Price seems like a great idea. Then we had Marc-Andre Fleury's wife. Also posted in support because she wants Canadian kids to be able to do all the things her kids can do. It's like, shut up. Like, what is, you don't even, what? I can't even wrap my head around.
You don't even go here.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to yell.
Like, maybe you should just post stories about Chicago where your husband is playing. I don't know. That seems like something you could fairly criticize.
Basically,
there was someone else, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Basically, what we learned is that if we brought back Hockey Wives, except for Noreen DeWolf, it would be just be like Fox and Friends, which is really kind of depressing because it was a good show. Though, in thinking back on it, there was an episode where Tiffany Paros went to her parents' house with George Paros, and they were like super pro-gun and were shooting like AR-47s or whatever and shit. So. That's what where that was at. So yikes. Anyway, yikes. Yeah, the Wags were on their bullshit.
So I guess actually moving on. We can go to our three stars of the week. Georgia, who is yours?
I think she's been my star before, but I will say again, Julia Black, and I'm going to butcher this name and I apologize, but Melchor Galisea, who are the two journalists from Business Insider, I think, who have been doing reporting on Dave Portnoy and his track record of sexual assault. And they released another massive story today, which was deeply horrifying and obviously like major content warning and trigger warning if you want to go near it. And she's now being sued by Dave Portnoy. So I think I have so much respect for journalists who stand up to men, small, just ugly, horrifying creatures like Dave Portnoy. So, all love and support to her and Lysaia, and hopefully, they're protected by their businesses, because they're about. They've been probably getting a shit fest for the past like however long since the first report, and I'm sure they're getting it still.
Yeah. I really like yours, and that is very good. And I hate to come in here and say that mine is Gabe Landeskog. for the reasons of this quote, once you start winning, quote, I don't do a lot of drugs, but I can imagine it's like a drug. Also, I want to say that the Yotes did break their home win streak, and also they were on just a winning streak in general, and they lost to the Yotes, which is pretty funny. But, quote, Gabe Landeskog, I don't do a lot. Not a lot. That's all. That's all I got for you. All right, Sam.
I just want to know specifically what the sum are, though. That was my first thought when I saw that.
I'm sure he goes to Coachella. Or he goes to the the festivals.
My star for the week is, well, our Mark Lazarus and, is his name Phil Thompson? Did I make that up?
Thompson.
Mark Lazarus and Phil Thompson, the two Chicago sports reporters who asked perfectly reasonable questions to Rocky Wirtz at the Chicago Town Hall and got very, very rudely cut off and berated. And, you know, props to any journalists who are out there still asking hard questions and dealing with that kind of bullshit.
Thanks for making sure that I just come in with a dumb bitch angle.
I was going to do Gay Linus Cog and then you did it. So
okay.
I had to come up with something else.
You have to be on brand. Like, here are some serious things in hockey. And I'm like, what about jokes?
That's our brand.
That's fine. Brand. Okay. I guess that's all we have for you this week. Let us know who your all-star team is and give us your justifications. Obviously, do not give us the best five best, six best players in the league. We don't want to see that shit. We do not want to see it. Vibes only. And yeah, basically just let us know what you liked and didn't like. We're at Broadcast Pod on all platforms. You can rate us now on Spotify, actually. And you can write us reviews on
I feel like Apple. A lot of people said they're leaving Spotify.
That is true.
We got messages. So we're on a bunch of different podcast places.
Yes.
Which
Stitcher.
Like Stitcher, Google Podcasts.
Any place where you can find a podcast, that is where we are.
Yes. Just for those people, we had a few people message us saying they were leaving and they didn't know what to use because they don't have Apple. So we're like everywhere. You can find us just on Anchor too.
Yeah. We actually don't think we're on SoundCloud though. So not there.
Oops.
Anyway though.
Yeah. But let us know. Keep writing.
Let us know.
Tell us queer hockey romances and talking and mentioning us. We love that. Yes. We have a few exciting episodes that will be coming up probably sometime in February, which we will tease on our Patreon.
That is true. We will tease them on our Patreon. Yeah, I guess that's all we have. So we'll see you next week. We'll see you other places on the net. That's all.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.